in the church to disrupt our rhythms. Sometimes we do that by taking something away or giving something up. We might also do that by taking something up, which is new, or introducing something new into our lives that we might reflect on our walk in faith with Jesus Christ. And so I want to bring to you an opportunity to take something up during Lent, and that is our Lenten dinners and studies here at the church. So now through April 16th, we'll gather together for dinners here at the church on Wednesday evenings from 5 to 6. These will be hot meals with some kid-friendly options, and everyone is invited to participate in the dinners. We'll also have small group studies if you wish. These will take place at either 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock, with each being an hour long. If you want to come for just the studies, fantastic. If you want to come for just the dinners, just as well. Or if you want to combine somehow any of those, mix and match, that is up to you. We just want to create a space where you can connect with others and hopefully add meaning to your Lenten observance. All the details for this is in your bulletin today or in your e-blast that is sent out weekly through the emails. Next, I'm going to hand things off to Chuck Link, who serves as our church's treasurer, with an announcement from our accounting team and also about an upcoming town hall meeting. Chuck?
Good morning. This past fall and early winter, the accounting team compiled the 2025 church general budget. In January, with input from Dennis Buckler, the accounting team leader, and myself, the SLC reviewed and approved the general fund budget of approximately $1.6 million. This equates to a budgeted overspend this year of $266,000. Now, the church remains very financially sound, with a budget that invests in our growth, supports our ministries, and funds missions and outreach beyond the church. There will be a SLC town hall meeting on 3/16 from 11:15 to 12:45 in the chapel. Child care is available. The agenda for this town hall meeting will be: number one, our 2025 general fund budget. Number two is substantial facilities team projects approved for 2025, and an update regarding congregation healing process through the Lombard Mennonite Peace Center. If you have any questions regarding the town hall meeting, please see any of our SLC officers, Ellen Talbot, Brad Barr, or Jan Juergens. Thank you.
Chuck, thank you for those announcements. Again, that town hall is next Sunday following worship. Also want to highlight that today is Girl Scout Sunday. And so for over 100 years, Girl Scouts have embodied values like service and leadership and making the world a better place, principles that align with us as a church. And happy to share that here in Midland, scouting is thriving. I've been told that there are over 20 active Girl Scout troops here in Midland. And so we take a moment to honor the Girl Scouts and the dedicated volunteers who give their time and talents in this service. I'm mindful that we have some Girl Scouts among us. So I just wonder if you've been in Girl Scouts before, could you raise your hand that they might see others who have been? Here we go. Fantastic. Now, I know some of you might be frustrated that I would bring up that it's Girl Scouts Sunday, because now you're thinking about Girl Scout cookies. Yeah, so I believe there might be some after church during our fellowship time, with some of our Girl Scouts having brought some. So if you're looking for some of those Thin Mints, I think I heard that they'll be in the the parlor during our fellowship time. One final reminder regarding our final report from the Lombard Mennonite Peace Center on our healing process here at the church. This will be delivered to us this Tuesday at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Reverend Ruth Farrell, who has served as our facilitator, will present the report to us via video. Everyone in the congregation is invited to attend that meeting here in the sanctuary, or there will also be a Zoom link that is sent out on Monday where you can attend virtually. Copies of the final report will be available at the meeting and then subsequently through the church office. So whether it's joining us virtually or here in the sanctuary, invite you to this time together to receive this report from the LMPC. And I hope that we'll remain committed in receiving this report to forging a new and exciting way forward for the congregation. With that, I'm going to remind you that there's much more that's happening in the church. Encourage you to read through your bulletin and also your weekly e-blast and find ways to commit and connect to the life of the church as we walk through this meaningful time as a church here in Lent. With all of this, Graceland will be joining me up front to bring us back together after a time of greeting. Ask that you remain standing for our call to worship afterwards. But for now, let's stand and greet one another in the name of Christ.
Please join me in the call to worship. May the Lord's name be glorified through all the earth. As Paul instructed the church in Colossae, may whatever we do in word and deed be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Our opening hymn today, El Shaddai, number 123. The words will also be on the screen. Together.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of your name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Hamkan Adonai, we praise and lift you high, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of your name, El Shaddai.
Please be
forward. And while they're joining me, I want to thank the congregation for your participation and generosity at the pancake supper. And a special thanks to Chef Doug. Hi, guys. Good to see you. In our lesson today, Jesus is teaching the people that one matters to God. He talked about the shepherd looking for one lost sheep, even though he still had 99. The woman looked for her lost coin, even though she still had 9 coins. And the big story today is called the prodigal son. Prodigal means, this was amazing for me to learn, prodigal means wasting money on lots of silly things. Ouch. The father in the story is loving and forgiving. He has 2 sons, one who was very obedient, but became angry when the father threw a party for the prodigal son who returned home. In the Bible, Psalm 17:6 says, I am praying to you because I know you will answer, O God. Bend down and listen as I pray. Let's imagine God bending down and listening to our prayer. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, you welcomed me into your family. Thank you. No matter what I do, you always love me. Thank you for all the chances or forgiveness you give me in that love. Amen. Okay, with Sunday school. Thank you.
Thank you, Chancel Choir. You might remember Hillary mentioning that one of the lessons our children are learning in Sunday school is that one matters. And it just so happens, I want to invite forward Renee Johnson. Just so happens that our Michigan Conference Advocacy Day will take place this Wednesday, March 12th. And it's on this day that United Methodists across Michigan are gathering at our state capitol to remind others that one matter. And the crisis and matter that they are addressing is the care crisis resulting from the 2019 auto no-fault insurance changes in Michigan. Renee Johnson is here to tell us about this effort. Renee serves on the leadership team of our conference, United Women in Faith, and will also be serving as one of our lay members to annual conference this year. But to tell us more about Advocacy Day, I'm going to hand things off to you, Renee.
Okay. I brought with me my basket of paper plate cars that we are using as a witness on the lawn in front of the Capitol to remind people about auto no-fault insurance. On average, 6 people every day suffer serious injury in car crashes here in Michigan. Our car insurance provides personal injury protection at different levels, so you might think you're sufficiently covered. But think again. The changes made to auto no-fault insurance back in 2019, which was designed to lower the cost of premiums, has had catastrophic consequences for the catastrophically injured. There are 2 problems we want to address. First, the 2019 law drastically reduced the hours that family members are reimbursed in order to exchange employment to care for a loved one. The number of hours they can claim don't begin to compensate them adequately. And second, healthcare providers who specialize in care for catastrophically injured people have had to shut down because their reimbursement rate, which was slashed by nearly half, has forced them out of business. What does that mean? Even if you elect the highest level of coverage, you might not be able to find appropriate care for an injured loved one. On Advocacy Day, United Methodists and friends will ask lawmakers to support measures to increase the number of hours for family members to be compensated and to increase the reimbursement rate for health care providers. These measures have bipartisan support, but we need every one of you to contact your representative in the Michigan House. Not everyone can attend Advocacy Day in Lansing, but you can use your voice to support life-saving legislation. And yes, people have actually died because they couldn't get the care they needed. But together, we can fix this. Thank you.
Renee, thank you for lifting the work that United Methodists will be doing this week. Can we join Renee in prayer as we pray God's blessings upon our efforts this week? Lord, we give you our prayers this morning as we lift up Advocacy Day here in our Michigan conference on a Wednesday. We pray that you would go before all those who gather, perhaps mindful of individuals in our families or amongst our friends, but mindful that there are, even if not, if this is not the case, that there are individuals within our communities who are affected by these laws. We pray, Lord, that those who hear the witness of the United Methodists across Michigan will have open hearts and minds to what is shared. And pray, O Lord, that you would guide us to share our witness full of grace. Lord, for the blessings that you have given us, the gifts and the abilities to speak words of your kingdom, we just give you thanks and ask for your blessings. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Renee. Bethany?
And now we come to a time of offering. As the ushers are coming forward, I would also invite you to sign the red friendship pads that are in your pews and pass them down so that you know who's sitting next to you. We love to get to know our neighbors, and so I invite you to do that at this time as well. If the ushers will come forward.
I'm so confused. I know I heard you loud and clear, so I followed through. And somehow I ended up here. I don't want to think, I may never understand, that my broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is hurt and these words. I will be done. I will be to me.
God, we thank you for your sovereignty and that you hear us when we pray. We thank you for every good gift that you give us and that you are the giver of every good gift. We thank you for these gifts here and now and pray that you bless them and use them to your honor and glory, however you see fit. Pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today, on this first Sunday in Lent, we begin a sermon series based on the Reverend Adam Hamilton's book, The Lord's Prayer: The Meaning and Power of the Prayer Jesus Taught. Over the course of these six Sundays in Lent, with insight from Hamilton's study, we'll look at the meaning of this prayer. What exactly are we praying for when we pray this prayer that Jesus has taught us? And by taking a look at this prayer even closer, we might even be inspired on how to live as followers of Jesus Christ. So let's start by diving right into all this with what we know about the Lord's Prayer. We know this prayer appears in two of the four Gospels. In Matthew chapter 6, which Pastor Bethany read to us this morning, and in Luke's Gospel chapter 11. And as Adam Hamilton points out, what makes this prayer stand out from all the other ones that Jesus prays and that is recorded for us in Scripture is that he prefaces this prayer by saying, pray like this. Or in the NRSV, pray then in this way. Additionally, there's no mistaking the importance of the Lord's Prayer within the church's life. If you just observe our rhythms and ways as the church, we pray this prayer that Jesus taught us each Sunday. And every time that we gather together for the sacrament of Holy Communion, we pray this sacred prayer at the most celebratory times, like weddings, and also the most sacred, such as funerals. Some of us might even make it a practice to pray this prayer every day, whether at the start of the day or at the end or sometime in between. Regardless of our individual practices, there's no denying the central role that this simple prayer has within our faith and within our life together as the church. So it makes sense that here in Lent, wherein we take a more attentive approach, a more inward approach to our walk with Christ, it makes sense that we would take a deeper look at this prayer to better understand what we are praying and to be more intentional in following Jesus' instructions to pray and to even live like this. So in chapter one of this study of the Lord's Prayer, coincidentally, if you are doing the study, we'll be taking this chapter on this Wednesday. In this chapter, Adam Hamilton focuses on Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. The opening phrase of this prayer that we've been taught and that we pray. The phrase, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Where in the Old and New Testaments use several names when referring to God, Hamilton points out that it's significant that Jesus addresses God here as Father. In addressing God as Father, while teaching us how to pray, Jesus reminds us of the intimate relationship that we share with God. With this name for God, Jesus reminds us of how God is good, how God is faithful, that God is close by and also merciful. Indeed, in teaching his followers that day on how we ought to pray, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask." Hamilton rightfully acknowledges that not everyone's experiences, not everyone's relationship with their earthly father will mirror the kind of relationship that we are discussing here. Too many know all too well how this relationship with one's earthly father can fall short of the qualities revealed through our heavenly Father. And so it's good for us to be mindful that for some, hearing God referenced as our Father can be difficult, can be painful. In these instances, it's good for us individually and as the church to remember the wounds and needs of others among us with whom we walk, and that ultimately it's God and not our earthly fathers who define what fatherhood or parenthood ought to be. Nonetheless, we acknowledge that this is the term that Jesus uses when teaching us to pray. So when we pray our Father, let us remember how our Heavenly Father not only knows what our needs are, but that God also knows us and is walking with us. Now, what does it mean to pray to a God who is in heaven? Where is heaven? How might our understanding of where heaven is shape how we pray? For this, Adam Hamilton has us consider the definitions or the meanings of heaven that we find in the Bible. And as it turns out, heaven has a multiplicity of meanings in the Bible. Indeed, heaven in the Bible can refer to the vast reaches beyond the universe, yes? Some of us might imagine that that is what heaven is in reference to. Heaven can be, according to its use in the Bible, where the sun and the moons are suspended. But heaven can also be where we will experience life everlasting with God and all who have received eternal life. And as vast as that might be, the Bible also refers to heaven as the very atmosphere that is around us, the very air that we breathe in and breathe out. So based on these meanings of heaven in Scripture, when we pray to our Father who art in heaven, Hamilton points out that Jesus is saying we are praying to a God who is both vast and near. So vast as not to be contained by the cosmos, and yet so very near as to be in the air that we breathe. If indeed God is as close as our next breath, how does this change? Or how does this inform our understanding of how we pray? Finally, in the opening line of the Lord's Prayer, we use this unique term, hallowed. Yes? Hallowed be thy name. This is the first petition, the first ask in this prayer that Jesus is teaching us. While the term hallowed or hallow may no longer be common among us, I'm guessing we have some sort of understanding, some implicit understanding of how this word is being used. To be hallowed is to be set aside. In this case, to be set aside for God's holy purpose. It is to honor or recognize another as being holy. And so when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying that God's name, that God would be lifted and honored among us. And throughout this book, Adam Hamilton asks a very insightful question here. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, what exactly are we praying? In other words, how exactly are we praying? How exactly are we asking for God's name to be hallowed? Based on his overall understanding of prayer, in that the overall purpose of prayer is to shape our hearts and to shape our lives, Adam Hamilton suggests that we are actually praying that God would hallow or honor God's own name through us. Did you catch that? That when we're praying, hallowed be thy name, we are praying that God would use us to honor God. Indeed, we are praying, God, may your name be hallowed or lifted up in how I live my life. I'm sure we can come up with examples of those who have been a detriment to our understanding or the understanding of others of who God is or how God loves us. At the same time, I'm just as confident that each of us can name the saints in our lives, the saints in our church, who have done the very opposite, who have taught us how God loves us, or who have shown us how God lives among us. And so when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we are asking that God would use us in such a way that others might have a deeper and a more genuine understanding of who God is and how God is walking among us. So this week, as we think about this opening phrase, and especially hallowing God's name, we might first think of those within our circle, our inner circle, those we rely on the most, those who have been a part of our lives and will likely be so on a long-term basis, I imagine that for some of us, these are some of the most life-giving relationships that we share. And at the same time, for some of us, these are some of the most complex relationships that we share. Whatever the case may be, we might ask ourselves, what does it look like to hallow God's name in our interactions within my inner circle? How do I honor God's name in a passing conversation with my child? These seemingly random conversations about this, that, or the other, and sometimes we're so busy we're ready to move on to the next task while our son or daughter is fixated on a character or an athlete or... All right. I understand the tyranny of the to-do list. But how do I honor God's name in this day, in this moment that God has given me to speak to my child? For those conversations we take with those in our inner circle for granted, because they're ongoing conversations, and we can pick them up at every time and every moment. But all right, how do I hallow God's name in this conversation? Next, we might move on to our circle of influence. Those we interact with on a regular basis, whose lives we might influence more than we think. They're our next-door neighbors. They're our coworkers. They're our classmates in the classroom. They are those we pass by regularly. What does it look like to lift and honor God's name in those interactions? They might be people whose names you don't know yet. They're the fellow parent in the midst of the chaos of picking up at school. Okay, I'm not very familiar with that because honestly, Carr usually does that. But from the time or two that I have done it and have been overwhelmed by that sea of people and parents, maybe that person in your circle of influence is that parent you see who isn't talking to anybody else. How might you hallow God's name in that moment? Finally, we might think of the seemingly random interactions we encounter each and every day. They are the caregiver in a care facility. They're the checkout person at Walmart or Meijer. They're the driver who's going 40 miles an hour on Eastman. I'm just going to apologize in advance if that's me. It happens. It happened this morning. You know, it's the post that we put on social media without thinking. It's the individual you might serve at Sunday Friendship Lunch. It's that interaction you might share for 15 seconds with a guest of the church who's attending one of our English as second language class or a drug addiction support group through Peer 360. Those sort of interactions. How might you hallow God's name in that moment? This week, in one conversation, in one interaction, or even one moment of frustration, how might you take a deep breath in and then letting that breath out? How might you honor God's name? Friends, with these first words and this first petition in the Lord's Prayer, this is what we're asking for. That God would help us to be used in this way. And so how might God answer our prayers this coming week as we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Today, as we gather in prayer, we have several families within the church to lift up and extend our sympathies and prayers to. And we extend our sympathies and prayers to the family and friends of Michelle Milhouse, who passed away on March 4th. So encourage us to be lifting Michelle's family in our prayers. We also extend our sympathies and prayers to the family and friends of Carrie Race, wife of Bruce Race, who passed away on March 5th. Carrie's service will occur here at the church on Friday. There'll be a time of visitation at 9:30 up to the time of service at 11. And so, Bruce, we're lifting you in our prayers, along with their children, Kathleen, Brent, Molly, Melissa, and their families. Let us pray. Loving God, in Jesus having walked among us, he has taught us and showed us so much. And indeed, in this very simple prayer that we continue to pray, he has taught us both how to pray and to live. And so, Lord, as we enter into this intentional time of faith and reflection, we consider this prayer that Jesus has taught us. And as we begin to do so, and throughout this week, O Lord, help us to pray these words in a way very differently. Help us individually and together as a faith community to consider how we might hallow your name. How we might listen more intently. How we might speak more judiciously. How we might be open more to those quiet yet persistent nudges of the Holy Spirit, knowing that you give us each day the opportunity to lift your name, to show others what it is to be loved by you, to show others the hope that we know, the very joy of our salvation in this life and in the life to come. So indeed, O Lord, help us to honor your name this week. And Lord, as we pray, we lift up the families that we know among us who are grieving, who are missing their loved ones. Lord, we think of the family of Michelle Milhouse and those in our community that she served. We just pray that you would comfort them. That indeed, you would be in every breath that they draw. And we'll be able to hold on to the hope of your redeeming love and of life everlasting. And Lord, we pray for Carrie's family. We lift Bruce and their children up in our prayers in this very moment. And ask that your embrace might be felt. Along with your comfort and care. Indeed, O Lord, we pray for our church and ask that you would walk with us in this week as we prepare to receive a report from the Lombard Mennonite Peace Center, knowing that you are forging a new way forward. Lord, in how we receive this report, may your name be hallowed. Pray for our community. We pray for our nation and our world. That your name would be hallowed. All this we pray as we pray the very prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able, and to join us in our closing hymn, His Name is Wonderful. We'll sing this twice. You'll find it on page 174 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. Before I share a benediction, I want to clarify, I misspoke at the time of the healing report, the healing process final report. That meeting is at 6:30 on Tuesday evening. That's 6:30 at Tuesday evening. I'm very mindful that less than 24 hours ago, we celebrated the life of one of our saints, Duane Townley. And if you were here, you might remember the life he lived, the career he had, the family he raised, his involvement in the church. And you might wonder, how does one do all that, right? How do I live such an impactful life? It's one breath at a time. It's one conversation at a time. It's one family dinner at a time. It's one interaction at work at a time. It's one conversation in the community at a time. It's one conversation here at the church at a time. We don't have to be perfect, but we have to be open to hearing how we might hallow God's name one moment, one breath at a time. May we do so this week. Amen. Amen. Amen.